Well, it's been grabbing headlines all week long. WWE wrestler Chris Benoit kills his wife, his son, then kills himself. But the bigger story may be that murder, suicide, and death may not be all that unusual to the world of professional wrestling. Joining us right now is Irvin Muchnick. He is the author of Wrestling Babylon, Pile-Driving Tales of Drugs, Sex, Death, and Scandal. And Irvin, we wanted to have you on, but then, of course, we found out you were a St. Louis native, so then we wanted to have you on even more. So welcome to KMOX.
Thank you, Debbie. I was just in St. Louis last week, and it was great to see my old hometown friends.
Well, we have, I was reading a story yesterday that just listed a few wrestlers who have died over the years, and then I came across your book, and you list even more. How many wrestlers did you profile who have come to bad ends here?
Debbie, my book has an appendix that documents about 87 wrestlers who have died of steroids, cocaine, other drug abuse, in-ring accidents, and various aspects of the pro wrestling lifestyle, you might say, over the last 20 years or so. I'm told that that's the tip of the iceberg. Since the book was printed, four more prominent wrestlers have died. Chris Benoit is number four. So when I got the news of the Chris Benoit situation, I wasn't shocked to hear that another wrestler had died. I must say that the grisly tabloid details of this particular scenario resonate with the general public in a way that no other wrestling death to date has.
If this was the NFL, the NBA, why there would be a hue and cry, a stink you wouldn't believe. Why has there not been more attention paid to this and more hue and cry by the general public?
Well, wrestling is a huge international multimedia merchandising juggernaut, but the general public and mainstream media still don't take it seriously or consider it the talent to be anything other than cartoon figures instead of real people. But, Doug, you raise an excellent point, which is why we should be caring about this, whether or not we are wrestling fans. And the reason is that wrestlers are canaries in the coal mine. The sorts of drug abuse and excesses that we're seeing inside the wild wrestling world is starting to happen in mainstream sports. Over the weekend, Rod Beck, the baseball star, was found dead at age 38. Ken Caminiti, the baseball MVP, died a couple of years ago, and those were headlines. When wrestlers die, generally speaking, if it doesn't have this train wreck tabloid detail of the Benoit situation, it generally flies under the radar. But it shouldn't, because this is a harbinger of what sports world writ large is going to look like in the 21st century, and it's not a pretty picture.
I mean, there really is no denying that so many professional wrestlers are using steroids or human growth hormones because they are enormously huge. And as I look, just a cursory look at the list of wrestlers who've died, there's so many who've died in their 30s of heart attacks. Now, you know, you would think they'd be in good shape because they're so muscular, but obviously there's something else going on there.
Yes, all the junk they put in themselves puts a tremendous strain on their cardio systems. In the early 90s, Hulk Hogan, who was the big, you know, cartoon hero of the 80s that really put the so-called wrestling resurgence on the map, was exposed in an article by me in People magazine as a longtime steroid abuser. And that article is collected in my book Wrestling Babylon. Later, a Pennsylvania doctor, George Zahorian, was convicted of running a steroid farm out of his clinic in Pennsylvania. And Vince McMahon, the chairman of World Wrestling Entertainment, before it was a publicly traded company, was narrowly acquitted in a sensational 1994 trial on charges that he conspired to distribute steroids.
You were on Bill O'Reilly's program last night, and during that show, O'Reilly intimated that Benoit had been injecting his son, who is 7 years old and has some problems of his own, or had problems of his own. Had you heard that before?
Well, yes. There were reports that Benoit and or his wife had injected their son with human growth hormone. The background of it, which O'Reilly hardly let me get a word in edgewise about, is that their son suffered from a rare disease called Fragile X syndrome, which made him smallish, gave him, like, autistic characteristics, and I'm not excusing their having human growth hormone around and injecting it into a child without a doctor's supervision, if in fact that is what happened. But I think what people need to know is that Chris Benoit was not Jimmy Superfly Snuka, a character in my book who beat up women on the road and probably was guilty of manslaughter in an incident in a motel room in Allentown, Pennsylvania in 1983. By all accounts, Chris Benoit was a good guy. Something happened. Something snapped. We're never going to know exactly what addled his brain or what went on. What we should be talking about is an industry that has guys on the road, makes them do incredibly unsavory things in order to get themselves over with the public. And these kinds of things are happening all too frequently, whether people, you know, sit up and look at it or not.
Irvin, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Debbie. Enjoyed being with you.
Irvin Muchnick is the author of Wrestling Babylon, Pile-Driving Tales of Drug, Sex, Death, and Scandal, talking about the situation in wrestling. And aside from the human growth hormones and the steroids, they are many of them are on massive amounts of painkillers and alcohol because they're injured so often. It is sort of a cocktail for disaster.